because that is our whole philosophy, it depends on this becoming religious, becoming dharmic, becoming a devotee. Unless we have a proper part to have the bhakti, then bhakti cannot come. These things, this following the regulatory principles, the four legs of religion, whole religious foundation is on those pillars. So unless the pillars are strong, we cannot really go ahead and we cannot build our house of bhakti without having the proper pillars. So three pillars have been already discussed in the past three Sundays. So I had no choice. I was just told to speak on truthfulness. So I am here today to speak on truthfulness, as you see. So what are those three other pillars that you have, that we have been talking about in different times last? So we spoke about three different pillars already. What are those?
Cleanliness.
That is damaged by what principle? That we have regulatory principle we should follow, or cleanliness?
Illicit
sex. Next one?
Austerity.
And that is damaged by intoxication. If you are intoxicated, and I will explain a little bit that naturally it's very easy to understand. Illicit sex means you cannot be really pure, clean. Cleaning is outside, but cleaning inside the mind also. So we'll contemplate on something abnormal relating to some another woman, and that is very, very damaging. That is almost the topmost that brings all other sinful activity that you will be promoting to. It starts like Ajamil's story. He started with a prostitute, with his love, and then all other sinful activities that came in his life. Gambling, cheating, stealing, killing the animals. So that also basic thing is, it starts from illicit sex. So because it pollutes your heart, your mind, your activity. So anyway, so that was the, then next is austerity. So now austerity, and why this austerity, like intoxication. That is, and if you are intoxicated, you cannot be austere. Because anytime if there is a problem in life, then naturally you will go for certain drugs, something, to just become, even act as a madman. And so even becoming some psychological problem, they also involve that you don't want to be austere. You don't want to face the truth, what is already there. And that's why people take shelter of alcohol, different drugs, and different psychedelic things are becoming psychologically sick. So what is the third one, third principle?
Mercy.
So mercy, naturally you cannot be merciful if you are killing the cows. If there is a cow killing, naturally mercy means jivadaya. So where is jivadaya if you are killing and eating meat? So many people, and it was very elaborately have been already explained. So today is the last leg of religion that we are talking about, this truthfulness. And how the truthfulness is damaged by gambling. So now we will talk about different things, that how gambling relates to truthfulness, what is truthfulness. So there is a dictionary definition of the truthfulness, and that is that the actual state of a matter, the true, means he tried to find out the truth, conformity with fact or reality. The truth of a statement, that is another definition, a verified or indisputable fact, proposition, principle, that is like mathematical truths, means that is verifiable truths. Then the state of character of being true, actuality or actual existence, an obvious or accepted fact, truism, platitude, honesty, integrity, truthfulness. These are all synonyms of the truthfulness. But there is a definition that Srila Prabhupada has given in Bhagavad Gita. And 10th chapter, text number 4, it talks about there are, it has been given that these are all these various qualities, that various qualities, that is knowledge, freedom from doubt, delusion, forgiveness, truthfulness. So truthful is there, and so I will, let me see, this is a different version of the Bhagavad Gita. Well, let me see what Srila Prabhupada. Satyam. So Satyam means there are many different qualities that, and Krishna says ultimately that they come from himself. He is giving these qualities. He is benedicting with these qualities. So satyam, truthfulness, that means that facts should be presented as they are for the benefit of others. So there should be always, we have to see that is it benefiting anyone? If it doesn't benefit, so there is no point in talking about it. Like you hear something from about somebody and then you going to start talking about him, whether it is good or bad. But if it doesn't benefit, one should not speak. It's a better to remain quiet and just think about Krishna rather than something that has happened. So it should benefit someone. Fact should not be misrepresented. According to the social convention, it is said that one can speak the truth only when it is palatable to others. But that is not truthfulness. The truth should be spoken in a straightforward way, so that others will understand actually what the facts are. If a man is a thief, and if people are warned that he is a thief, that is truth. Although sometimes the truth is unpalatable, one should not refrain from speaking it. Truthfulness demands that the facts be presented as they are for the benefit of others. That is the definition of truth. So that is Srila Prabhupada is presenting. Then again, there are 26 qualities of a devotee, and that has been given in chapter 16 by Srila Prabhupada. He is defining about truthful again there. So those 26 qualities, then Krishna is saying, O son of Bharat, belong to godly man, endowed with divine nature. Means those are the 26 qualities. Srila Satsurup Maharaj wrote a whole book about that. The 26 qualities of a devotee. So that is also, it describes about Satyam, but it is one of the third one is Satyam. So I will read about Satyam, about that is part of the Krishna consciousness. The Satyam. Again, another definition given by Srila Prabhupada in these 26 qualities of a devotee in verse number 3 of 16th chapter, the divine and demonic nature. So, Satyam, this word means that one should not discard the truth for some personal interest. In Vedic literature, there are some difficult passages, but the meaning or the purpose should be learned from a bona fide spiritual master. That is the process for understanding the Vedas. Shruti means that one should hear on the authority. One should not construe some interpretation for his personal interest. There are so many commentaries on Bhagavad Gita that misrepresent the original text. The real import of the word should be presented, and that should be learned from a bona fide spiritual master. Tad viddhi pariprasnena pariprasnena sevaya upadeshanti te jnanam jnaninas tattva darshinam. That jnani is a tattva darshi, so one should learn from that what is actually truth. So, about truth, means Krishna is in the first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, Param Satyam Dhimahi. That, what is the meaning of Dhimahi? Meditate. I meditate on Param Satya, absolute truth. So, Krishna is the Samam Bhunam. Our truth is really a kind of relative truth. In the world, when we say somebody is rich, somebody is beautiful, somebody is very famous, but how much? Unless you compare to certain standard, and the topmost is Krishna. He has all these six opulences, Sadeshwari Sampanna, and unless we go to Krishna, means everything about our truthful has to be related to Krishna. Without that, just a plain truth, or truth means one may say that one does not have to tell a lie. So I will give about, there was a student by name Gautam, his name was Jabal. So Jabal went to a guru. His mother sent him that you please learn, but Gautam said that I only teach to the Brahmanas. So what caste you are from? So Jabal said that I do not know what is my caste. Then his guru said that you please go to your mother and ask. So his mother said that I was a society girl. I had a relation with many people. I really do not know who is your actual father. So he comes back and narrates exactly what the mother said. And because of this, Guru said that you are a Brahmin, I will teach you, and he became a student. So truthfulness is so close, that to Brahminical quality. A Brahmin means he must be truthful. Vaishnava are all Brahmins, above Brahmin. So they have to be truthful. They should not distort. So So the truth is brahminical quality, and the devotees of Krishna, we strive to develop brahminical qualities. So, and we read about what is this definition of the dictionary definition of the Gita. And so truth does not mean just literally speaking the truth. It also means that seeing the absolute truth or the Krishna, or we have to connect to Krishna. And unless it is anything connected to Krishna, our all saying truth is really subordinate truth or may not be truth at all. So we will talk about further things, how this gambling is connected to truthfulness. Can anybody can elaborate on why gambling and truthfulness, what is their connection? We say that by gambling, you break in many people who play on the stock market and gamble, or many varieties this gambling has been going on since not only Yudhishthir Maharaj, he was gambling, and prior to that also from all the ages. But how this gambling breaks your principle of like truthfulness, that is the one leg, is the most important leg of religion, why it is broken by gambling. Anybody has any little bit? Yes.
Gambling is you are trying to take someone else's thing, and which is everything belongs to Krishna. How can you be the master of which is not yours?
Okay. That is, anyone else has any another point? That's good. Very good. Yes.
Cheating for publicity.
Okay. What else? So there is a principle by Krishna's arrangement that in order to achieve anything in spiritual life or material life, one must put some endeavor and hard work. So even if you are a PhD or whatever, then naturally you go through all this routine, you put certain number of years in your study, and in spiritual realm also that there is endeavor. Like we see in Damodar Leela, Mother Yashoda was done, so much she took trouble, so many robes, her flowers were falling down, her hairs were disarrayed, and then when her enough endeavor, then Krishna saw, then he showered his mercy, and he was tied down by Mother Yashoda. And so this endeavor is necessary, but what happens in gambling? Quick money. I mean, so you don't have to work, so you become like a culture, that you don't have to do all the routine or all the whatever rituals are needed for Krishna to please him. So in his spiritual life also, it is bad for material life, bad for his spiritual life. We say that that agriculture is the best. There is a kahavat, or there is a saying that, so we have to really do certain activity to achieve something, not out of nowhere. Like you said that you get money from someone else and you feel it's a nice, but gradually becomes that why I should work. Let me just gamble. And then when he does not win from gambling, then he will cheat in some way or another to others. He will tell lies. So truthfulness is completely finished by activity of gambling. And that's why gambling is not, creates this culture of avoiding hard work and endeavor, and creates this cheating propensity inside of us, encouraging us to circumvent this process created by Krishna. Just like in the story of Ajamil, he began gambling, and this degenerated into his stealing and plundering. So what are the benefits of speaking the truth? So truth has many benefits, because it pleases Krishna. In a way, it pleases Krishna by our activity, that he is very truthful, he is very close to, because Krishna Swayam himself, satyam satyam param satyam hare namaiva kevalam, means he is the absolute truth. And when we are truthful to him, means to in general way, then naturally he likes our endeavor, he likes our activity. So in our scripture we see many examples of how speaking the truth was pleasing to the Lord. I would like to narrate two stories in this connection. The first one, the history, Vedic history, that is King Harishchandra. You heard about it in detail, but I will tell you a little bit in a shorter way, that King Harishchandra, he was son of Trishanku. He was long before Lord Ramchandra. Means Lord Ramchandra's dynasty, Sun dynasty. So he was from Sun dynasty, and one day he had a dream that he has donated his whole kingdom, everything, to Vishwamitra. And so when that was happened, and next day what happened? Vishwamitra came himself. And then Vishwamitra asked that you donated Because they wanted to test his truthfulness. Because and there was a discussion among various sages and even the demigods that it's very difficult that nobody is really truthful when it comes to their life. Nobody would be truthful. Nobody would stand to truthfulness. So that Harishchandra was very, very famous. So they said, why not we test on in Harishchandra how much he stands to the truthfulness when he is tortured or given so many ways. So what happened? So he gave his whole kingdom. Now he said that you have given this charity or donation. Now give me Dakshina. So Dakshina is Bhuri Dakshina. It is something separate. You donate and on top of that you give to the Brahman to whom you gave it. So he wanted another Dakshina. Means again another payment. So then he was ordering. Then immediately he remembered that nothing belongs to me now. So so he wanted to work in his kingdom. But he said that Vishwamitra said, no, you cannot live in my kingdom. And he was the practically king of the whole planet, whole earth planet that he was ruling. So Kashi was the only place that was out of his jurisdiction. So he went to Banaras, Kashi. And in the Banaras, then he wanted to work, but nobody gave him any work. It was all, then he thought that let me just sell myself. But his son became very hungry and asking, mom, mom, his wife's name was Shravya, very chaste lady. His son's name was Rohit, Ashwar Rohit. And then he was crying. And then so wife thought that I am Ardhangini. I must help my husband. And Vishwamitra was coming again and again to pay my money. There was only 1 month time was given to pay this Dakshina. So she herself said that she will work for a Brahmin. So she went. She was really almost purchased by this Brahmin. It was 1,000 gold coins at that time. So $250, and she sold herself. Then son came, where my son would stay, please allow him. So by her request, the son also came, and he was helping also in bringing flowers, the wood from the forest for the fire sacrifice. So he was also helping. But one day, a snake bit Rohit, and he died instantly by this poisonous snake. So now she pleads to the Brahman that please help me for cremation. There used to be cremation grounds. And so what happened? This Harishchandra himself, because Vishwamitra was so much behind, he himself was sold to a chandal, a dome. Means they collected certain taxes and allow somebody to cremate on the cremation ground. So he said that you have to collect some cloth. You have to collect one pie, at that time that was long ago, and also collect a kilo of rice or wheat, whatever. Unless you collect that, you don't allow them to burn. Means they could not be cremated. So this Shravya brought the son to this cremation ground that was in Kashi. She was also working in Kashi or Banaras. And so her husband, he was disheveled, big hairs. He was a king. But he was in a shape that she could not recognize, that this is my husband. But husband, seeing, immediately knew. He knew this is my son. But to remain truthful, because his boss told him that you have to collect these things. Without that, nobody can come in the cremation ground. So somehow, then what happened, she gave her half sari. She was just wrapped in half of the cloth. She wept somehow. 1 kilo of the rice, and she had some pie or penny, and she gave that. And so minute like she, so she was, he was being put on that, and when she was tearing her sari, the Dharmaraj, Vishwamitra, and they all came, many demigods and many sages, they appeared at the scene, and then they said that because you are truthful, we are trying to test you, please forgive us, you have stood and whatever your oath of truthfulness, and you have stood to that exam. So Chandra Tare, Suraj Tare, Tare Jagat Vyavahar, Tyon Raja Harishchandra Ko Tare Na Satya Vichar. Even in a dream he had thought that I will do, and he gave it. What to say about, so even in the mind, you could, if it is in the mind also, so you should be pure even in the mind. If you give it, then you do it. Like sometimes people may promise that I will give, but that promise is to be fulfilled. You know the story of that King Narag promised that he will donate so many cows, but one cow got mixed with his party, then he donated again, and he had to go and become a lizard. And so there are many stories about this. And another, like Lord Ramchandra himself, he is an incarnation of like the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he set an example that how important it is always to be truthful. Means he was banished to the forest. He said that I will follow my father's, whatever my father is ordering me, I will do that. And so although he was requested by Kaikeyi, Bharat and his guru, they all went to the forest, to Chitrakoot, that please come. But he would not come. He says, I give my promise to my father, and I will remain to my oath or whatever I have taken that. So I will do it. Then there is a kahavat also in Lord Ramchandra's time. What was that?
Riti
sada chali aayi, prana chahi par vachan na chahi. So he followed that fully. So now slide number 5, that what are the harms of speaking a lie? So we told that, yes, that there is a lot of benefit to that because Krishna is pleased. But what are the harms that we get it? So no one likes being lied to, the parents, his spouses, friends. We all appreciate being told the truth. Being told a lie is very, very painful to us. In the material realm also, we have laws, and failure to obey them results in consequences. If while in the court we speak a lie, when we are under oath, there are serious consequences. However, sometimes we are able to lie without detection and don't face. But Krishna, he is sitting in our heart. And so many demigods, day, night, moon, sun, Krishna is Paramatma. He knows our heart. And so that way, we can lie to so many other people, but we cannot lie to ourselves or to all these people. And then resultantly, that we are being punished. So we cannot hide any sinful activity or sinful deeds or lies from Krishna. So there are certain stories, like Karna, he went to get military art from Parashuram. Parashuram is guru of also like Vishwa Pitama. So he went there and he was only teaching only to the Brahmanas and to nobody else. And he said that I am a Brahmana. So what happened later on, one time, so he was teaching him in many, many arts of military arts. Parashuram ji, he is an incarnation of Krishna, Shakta Vashesha Avatar. So one time, Parashuram got very, very tired and he laid down on the lap of his spiritual master, his disciple, Karna. So he was lying on the thigh, his head was on the thigh as a pillow, and then a big insect came. He was blood-sucking insect. And then he bit him such a severe way, and so much blood was coming out. And he was practically, so when the war, he was trying to wash the blood away from his guru, but somehow the blood flowed. It was so much blood was pouring out from that wound that it went to the body of Parashuram. So Parashuram woke up and he just saw this blood. So he became so angry that with other than a Kshatriya, nobody could tolerate such kind of pain. You are not a Brahman. Brahman would not tolerate this thing. So you told me a lie. So the consequence was that, what was the consequence, you know?
You
will forget that whatever the art I have given at the time of your emergency, you will forget that art of like Brahmastra, and they come by mantra, so you will forget the mantra. And you would not be able to invoke some astra and protect yourself. When at the last moment, when his chariot, his wheel was went in the earth, like, and then, so there was one arrow that was a Nagastra. So he shot, and Lord Krishna, he put pressure on the chariot, and chariot went down and went through the crown of the Arjun, and Arjun's crown fell off, but Krishna protected. And at that time, he could have used another astra, like Brahmastra. He does not need a weapon. He was on the ground trying to pull the wheel chariot, and then Krishna said that now his atatai, you kill him. So Arjun took the instruction from Krishna, although he did not want it to, but he killed the Karna at such a moment when he forgot his another astra to use. So there was Sambha. Who is Sambha? Another boy in the Krishna's dynasty. Sambha is son of Jambavati, Krishna's son. So Krishna and many sages, and they came at Krishna's place, palace in Dwarka. They were all going, and they were stationed some outside. So this boy just to do a mockery, and so they made, so this Sambha became a girl. They dressed him as a girl and they put some cloth on the abdomen. and other these boys are saying that this girl is pregnant. What would come out of him? Is there a boy or a girl? And the rishis, they become very mad by telling this lie and joking and mockery with the sages. So they are told that he will be, there would be a musal, what you call it, a club, would be born from his stomach and will be the cause of destruction of whole Yadu dynasty. And that's what it has happened. Although they tried to hide this thing from Krishna, they did not tell their father, but they tell the king, Ugrasen. Ugrasen, that grind this whole club, and by grinding whatever and throw it in the ocean. But and so this, but then this some kind of aran or some kind of grass that grew up at that bank of the ocean, and then all these people were born to Prabhas Kshetra, and in Prabhas they were using this as a weapon, and they fought among each other and everyone died. Although the last piece from the grinding that was left over, that was a piece of little metal that was eaten by a fish, and then a fisherman, he found that fish in his net, he cut it open, he took it out and made an arrow out of that last piece. And that arrow, this fisher, this man, he was a hunter, means a hunter bought that arrow, and hunter shooted that arrow, because Krishna is also from Yadu dynasty. But that was just to fulfill the words of his devotees, not that he had to undergo, and neither he left. But he told this hunter that please do not be worried, because he thought the feet, lotus feet of the Lord, as a tongue of some animal. And that's why this hunter shoot that arrow, and that touched him, and then immediately he came and he begged pardon. But he said that do not be afraid of, it is not your fault, that was I wanted to fulfill the curse of a brahmana. So he does that. So there is a higher principle for speaking the truth. And what is that higher principle? So there is more to being the truthful. Truthful does not mean that you don't tell a lie. That is not the like say this Washington, George Washington. In his childhood, he cut a tree. What was that tree?
Cherry tree.
And then when people asked, he said that yes, I cut that tree. So he was become very, very famous for becoming truthful. And even until now, today, after so many 200 years, people, they remember that. But that is some of the fact. That is not all the fact. Because why it is only a partial fact? Because it is not connected to Krishna. We have to connect everything to absolute truth. Just saying that, yes, I did it, it is not the whole thing. So there are sometimes, the Prabhupada used to tell this story about this humorous story. Often he narrated about a Caesar and the knife. So they said that Caesar is the best, that chops the man. Another person was saying the knife is chopping, more useful is the knife. So they were started fighting. On little things people they fight. This is age of quarrel and hypocrisy. So they fought, and then men threw him in the river. And he did not know swimming. So he was drowning, but he put his hand up and then moving his two fingers. Caesar is the best. So he would not give up his mentality. So he was just until the end that he was telling. So in our scripture also, there are many that higher principle of the truth than just speaking honestly. The most classical example that you all know is the Yudhishthira Maharaj. Yudhishthira Maharaj was worshipped like, he's the personification of Dharmaraj. His Dharmaraj means always to speak truth, and everybody would believe him. In his whole life, he never told a lie. But when Dronacharya was killing like 50,000 soldiers in an hour, that was his speed, then everybody was, now what to do? How we could really stop Dronacharya? And Dronacharya would not stop. He had many celestial weapons, although he was doing wrong, because with the celestial weapons, he was killing innocent soldiers. That is not right. If you are sitting on a horse, you could fight with a person who is sitting on a horse. A charioteer fights with a charioteer. A person sitting on the elephant, and if you use that, your weapons also has to be similar weapons. You can't fight with a celestial weapons to innocent people who don't know ABC of celestial weapons. But he was invoking all those weapons and killing innocent people. So it is against the principle. And also he was on side of the Duryodhan. So, because of that, it was Krishna's desire that he should be killed. So he told Yudhishthira Because initially Bhima said that Ashwatthama Hata, his son, only like he promised that if somebody gives me a bad news about my family, particularly of my son, I would give up my weapon. I would not fight anymore. So Bhima told, but he would not accept it. Actually, Bhima killed an elephant by name Ashwatthama. So Yudhishthira, with great persuasion and knowing that some elephant is killed, so hesitantly he said Ashwatthama Atha. And then he was saying Narova Kunjarova. Ashwatthama is dead, but it could be Nar means man or Kunjar means elephant. So when he was saying this, then Bhima was playing the drum. So his sound subsided in that what he said. So Duranacharya, he thought that Yudhishthira is saying, I must accept the fact that my son is killed now. So let me give up my weapon. He was so much morose because he was his only son. And in the childhood, he was very much, even he did not have milk, and his mother would take an ashes and mix it and give it to him. So he was brought with such a, so that was his condition. So he was brought up after many, many years, when he had a service at Dhritarashtra's house and he was teaching, then he had everything at his disposal. Then even Arjun brought one cow from not Janak Maharaj, this father of Draupadi, Drupad Maharaj. And so his son Duryodhan, but Duryodhan cannot defeat father of Drupad Maharaj. But then Arjun went and he single-handedly he caught hold of Drupad and brought him to Dronacharya. And then Dronacharya forgave him and he says, I only want a cow, you become the king. He returned it back. So now he calls his wife Krupi and his son also. So he was very, because he had not seen him for many years. Krupi was living alone. For 15, 16 years he was wandering here and there to get a shelter. Then Vishnu Pitama gave him the shelter to teach. So in this scripture, so Yudhishthira Maharaj, his chariot was always, because he was so much truthful, so he was like a demigod, and his chariot was always above the ground. It would not walk on the ground. And he was very, very reputable. And Krishna would also regard him. But what happened when we hesitated in saying these words about what that you say this Ashwatthama Hata, when he hesitated what Krishna ordered him, because absolute truth is Krishna. Whatever Krishna does is the absolute truth. We should not go for the morality. Krishna is beyond all this morality or worldly morality. So he should not have hesitated in doing this. But he was hesitated, so his chariot fell down. Then he was not as best of the truthful, like what his position was, that was not remained there. So he was degraded or downgraded. And also some people say that he had to go through the hellish planet before he went back home. He had to see the hellish planets. Although by his coming, everybody was very happy because some cool breeze would go through Yudhishthira Maharaj. But nonetheless, he had to see all that scene and go through that. And so also another story about this higher principle is about Bali Maharaj. Bali Maharaj, he had Bali Maharaj and Vamandev. So Vamandev came as a Brahmin, a dwarf, and went to Bali Maharaj. He was doing a big sacrifice. Shukracharya was his spiritual master. He was doing all this. And then he came and he was welcomed. His feet was washed and they sprinkled the water because he was a Brahmin. And then he said, you sit down and then please ask whatever you want, I will give you. And he said that give me by my feet 3 foot space, whatever from your kingdom. He was the king of whole universe, not only the one planet, but whole universe that he was ruling. A grandson of Prahlad Maharaj. Virochan was his father. So then Shukracharya comes that he is asking and he says that yes, I will give it. Then he was doing sankalp. Sankalp means you take little water from a jug and then you give it. That way that you promise, your promise you will fulfill. So if one reaffirm that, although whatever one says, in olden days there was no in writing or anything, whatever, the credit was person's words. And even the father taken a loan, then his even children would pay. Even nowadays also it is there in India in the villages. So truth was, it's not that nowadays so many contracts and this, and still there is so much fight and so much court cases and so many liars and so many things they happen. But that was truth. It was truth. Still that leg, that is the last leg of religion, is still staying there. All the three legs of this bull. Bull is a personification of dharma, and mother cow. Cow is the like earth is in form of the cow. So it's not just a representation. That is their form, eternal form. A Prithvi's form is as a cow, and the form of a bull, like dharma, is in the form of the bull. So they both should be protected. So Bali Maharaj, that we are Bali Maharaj, he promised, but Shukracharya says that he will take away, he is Vishnu, he will take away your all the kingdom and everything. He will make you just ripped off of all your possession. He says that's very nice. If he is Vishnu, my grandfather, he was a worshipper of Vishnu. If he has come to my door, everything belongs to Vishnu. Why I should not give it to him? Why you are preventing? So even if the Guru is preventing, he is going something against service to Krishna, then you can reject him. He rejected Shukracharya. He did not listen to him. And Shukracharya even tried again that he was in that Jhari or Kamandalu, from where the water spout, the water comes. He become as a mosquito. And then he put a straw. Like Vamandev, he knew, because he knows past, present, future, everything. His Supreme Lord. And then his eyes was like poked by this straw, and he became blind. But Shukracharya, why? Because Shukra means semen, and his Acharya means he wants to just. So he is like a demon of the demons. He was the spiritual master of the demons, although very, very learned. But where, what would happen to me if he used everything? Then I will be bereft of a king who is giving me the shelter. So he wanted his benefit rather than giving to the Lord like this. So Bali Maharaj became very famous. And what Bali Maharaj, like even the third or fourth, like he tested him so severely, whereas in 2 feet he measured everything. The third feet he says, where should I put? So Bali Maharaj said, I am different from my kingdom. Just naturally, he owned a kingdom. So he himself is different, like I own a book. So that naturally book is separate, I am separate. So Bali Maharaj said that you could take, I am higher than my all the kingdom. And that's the natural, because he possesses that, he owns that. So he said that, okay, you could put your foot on my head. So he put on the head and he pushed him. He tied him down by the Nagpash. And so many things happened. And then, so he gave him the kingdom of Sutal. He is still as a guard there. Means he protects him. One town even Ravan came to steal or see that, because he wanted to make the whole Lanka with gold. So Vamandev, who was his guard, kicked him and he was just whirling around many times and he was thrown to Lanka. Because Vamandev was protecting. And so Bali Maharaj, now there is also a story who point, like there is a story now, Satyam Bruyat Priyam Bruyat. Satyam Apriyam Bruyat. So should it always be palatable? The truth should always be palatable or not? According to the scripture, sometimes it may not be palatable. Or sometimes lying may be the real thing. You may have to even to lie, because there is a higher principle. If it does not help anybody, or in Brahminical culture, Brahman, devotee, cow, if they are being killed because of telling the truth, then you should not tell the truth. Either you should remain mum, or in such a way, like there is a story that there somebody, a cow was running from a person who wanted to kill the cow. some people. So she was running, she went into the jungle, and then there was a sage, and the sage was sitting there, and then these dacoits who wanted to kill the cow, they came, and she said, did you see the cow? She went this way. So he said, really, but because he said they found the cow and cow was slaughtered. So that is the Brahminical culture, or cow was killed because of his telling, although it was truth. So that was a mistake. He should not have spoken anything, or he should have said, I don't know. Same thing, like there were some devotees, they were running from the dacoits, but then the dacoits, they came across like a sadhu and they ran, but the sadhu said it again, pointing out that yes, did you see those people who were running? I was just behind them. Yes, they went to this way or they went to that way, although they were hiding somewhere. And he pointed them out, and all those devotees were killed by these dacoits, And so that was a big loss. Now about palatable or not palatable. So you should try that it should be palatable. You should not say in a harsh way. But sometime a direct truth should be told without any modification. It should be like Prabhupada wrote in the direction that there sometime a naked truth should be told, and that is the proper way. So we see that there is a higher principle to the truth. We define the truthfulness as attaining the absolute truth. It's not just about speaking the truth. It is about obeying the higher authority, Krishna. Just like a police, when they say go through the red line, you abide by that. So when Krishna is saying, like Bhishma Pitamaha, no, Yudhishthira Maharaj was hesitating. So he was not really following the higher principles. So keeping vows, the truthfulness is also to follow the promises that we have made in front of Lord Krishna, the Vaishnavas, the spiritual master at the time of our initiation. So that is also truthful. If you try to avoid, oh, today I may not chant, tomorrow I will chant, it's all right, today I could break the principle, means I will eat something like onion, garlic or something. Oh, it's good for me, my health. On the name of the health, you may take some intoxicants. And so many ways it will help my sleep or certain disease. So one should really follow the vows that one makes in front of the deities. That is, vows means otherwise you will be breaking this principle on which the whole house of your dharma is standing. So one should be very careful. The next slide, this summing up about this truth. The truth is no doubt a virtuous quality and a brahminical quality that is pleasing to Krishna. However, as we have discussed, there is a higher principle. Higher principle is Samam Bonam, is Krishna. From him, everything is emanated. We are his part and parcel. We have to surrender to him. So everything is meant, whatever, whether it is truth or it is meant to please Krishna. So as long as Krishna is pleased by my effort, we should act in that way. So knowledge of the absolute truth is that which will save you at the time of your death. Other truths will fall away and only prove that you have wasted your life. The absolute truth is Lord Krishna. Param Satyam Dhimahi. Truthfulness is to admit our dependence on the Supreme Lord. Krishna is my protector. Krishna is my master. He will protect me. Sometime when in the flight, I go and they see the plane bouncing like sometime 50 feet or 100 feet goes down all of a sudden in few seconds. Then I think that I pray to Lord Narsingdev and he will come in a gigantic form and he will hold the plane and bring it to the proper place. So I become careless at that time when such thing happened, rather than shouting or crying. I'm just giving an example that we should feel our, although we are dependent on Krishna, but we feel that I am dependent on myself, my wealth, my house, my family, my insurance, but they are all fallible soldiers. We should always depend. That is one of the Sharanagati, six principles of Sharanagati, that Krishna will always protect me. We should always feel. He is the master. Naturally, we are his children. Why he would not protect? If we are dependent, we ask for it. But if we don't ask, like even mother would not give you the food. If you don't ask, you should ask. That is normal. So if you ask Krishna, pray to him, he will definitely protect. And there are many examples of protection of the Lord at time of difficulty. You see this example of protection like Gajendra, Draupadi. Means there are, I don't want to go in detail of those, but you see that how Gajendra asked for protection and Lord came. Draupadi, what else other that you have seen from the scriptures? Prahlad Maharaj. Right. So he protects. Like Mragrari, he says, how I will be able to feed myself if I give up? Then Krishna said that, like Haridas Thakur, it's an example that you can give, that he promised that he will chant 300,000 rounds every day. So Haridas, even he was bitten in 22 marketplaces. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and he showed at the time of his showing, like his opulence, he showed that I took your other beating. And so much beating that any ordinary person would die. And Haridas Thakur was very lean and thin. He would have died and they were hitting, because if you don't hit, then the Jallada who were hitting him, they would be killed. That's what was the order, that you make sure that he gets killed. And they were trying their best. But Haridas Thakur was protected by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. So Lord protects his devotees. If you ask, so although he did not ask, but Lord knows, he's sitting in our heart and he is always our our protector. So rather than depending on our so many outside protectors, we should depend on Krishna. So that is what is truthful is also means admitting our lack of devotion and asking Krishna to help us. Krishna is ready to help us. He is always there like, oh Krishna, I could not finish my rounds, please. So he will make like, he will wake us up even if we are sleeping. So, but we have asked Krishna for help because we are his dependent children. And Krishna would surely help us in our vows. Means with our side, like Krishna, dadami buddhi yogantam, yenamam upan, he will give us intelligence. He removes our intelligence. He gives us the memory. So who is the source? Everything source is Krishna. So we have always to depend. That is truthful. That is truthful that if you depend on Krishna, oh, why I should beg? I am beg. I don't need that. No, you should feel like a child in front of Krishna and he will definitely protect us. So I will finish here and there, if you have any comments, questions or anything, there are many, many